Welcome to the Tim Fowler Show, where production is paramount and we discuss the tools, time, and people associated with getting jobs done and making a profit. On today's episode of the Tim Fowler Show, we will be talking about checklist implementation with the help of special guest Wesley Yoder of Westchester Design Build in Westchester, PA. Alongside Tim Fowler, I'm your co-host Steve Wheeler. Here is the Tim Fowler Show.
Hey everyone, Tim Fowler here, and welcome to another episode of what I think is just a fantastic podcast. So every time I do one of these, I learn a little bit. And hopefully I'm able to share a little bit with everybody out there. Keep the ideas coming. Really appreciate it. I've gotten some really good ones recently, and we'll be digging up some guests and figuring out how we can get them on the air. So there's a lot of things that we have to deal with in remodeling. So some of them are just kind of like a thorn in under your skin that just keeps irritating you, and you keep making the same mistakes over and over again. And others, they just pop up like once in a couple of years. So we try lots of different things, and we try lots of different ways to fix these. Oftentimes we have a meeting, we got people talking about it, we have frustration in there. And in many cases, we just get discouraged because it seems like it's unbeatable. And so we find ourselves saying those terrible, terrible words. Well, I guess it just is what it is. Or maybe another way we say it is, well, it's just remodeling. There really can't be any other way. And so we're always looking for those solutions. Now, on one of the other podcasts, we talked about what we call a debrief meeting. Some people call it an autopsy. About the end of the job, where we can start to identify some of those problems that keep plaguing us. And then what we also see is that it's often difficult to take the next step. So what we want to talk about in this podcast is taking that next step of possibly getting some of those things into what we would call a checklist. So I have to admit to everybody right here that I finally got around to it, all right? And that is, I finally read the book, The Checklist Manifesto. So I was talking with our guest today, and he had mentioned that he had read the book. And I said, well, you know what? Before we get on there, I'm going to read the book. I was just absolutely amazed. So we're going to spend a little time talking about the book today. It's not a promotion, but I would encourage you to get it and read it. But I've been a checklist advocate for a long, long time, and the book helped me to solidify some of those ideas. This book is written by a surgeon. I was under the impression it was written by a pilot for many, many years. Absolutely wrong on that. But he does delve into some of the checklists that pilots use, and even visits a skyrise construction project and looks at some of the ways that they're using checklists there. So I don't think it solves everything, but I do think it'll go a long way to smoothing out some processes. Any thoughts, Steve?
Well, I think, you know, I used checklists a lot when I was in business, and they were a savior to me. So I'm really excited to talk to our guest today. I also want to say that we are going to change the catchphrase for the Tim Fowler Show to "It isn't what it is," because it is what it is my least favorite thing that anybody could say. I think it's just so I just want to put that out there that it is not what it is. Okay.
That's excuses. Maybe we'll do that.
Yes, please. So let's jump into it. Wesley Yoder is the production manager for Westchester Design Build. He joined them 9 years ago as a lead carpenter, and after 3 years became a project manager and moved into the role of production manager in January of 2018. Welcome to the show, Wesley.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
All right. So let's just jump right into it. So how did you actually get started into this using checklists that we've talked privately about it, but just tell everybody like what got you jump started into it.
Sure. It was actually the owner of the company, Chris Payson. He asked me to read it. And to be honest, when I saw the title, I wasn't too thrilled, wasn't really excited about it. Didn't seem like a page turner. But I was actually really surprised that it really was a great book that I couldn't put it down. I just kept reading and reading. He did a great job of explaining the benefits of checklists and the challenges within building checklists. So it was a great book. So that book is really what got me going in on it. And the owner of the company is a huge proponent of checklists. So we're using it and implementing it quite a bit.
So what was it? I know I've already confessed that I went ahead and read the book, and I'll share some of my thoughts too, but what was it from that book that kind of got you thinking or maybe even changed your mind about the use of checklists in this business?
Sure. You mentioned the pilots using checklists. In that book, The Checklist Manifesto, he talks about when they started first flying those real complex planes, there were a lot of failures, a lot of pilot accidents, mistakes. And so they were searching all over the place, trying to figure out solutions and spending a lot of money. And then it turned out that the checklist was what significantly reduced the amount of operator error. So that caught my attention right away. That was in the beginning of the book. And it was just astounding to me that something so simple as a checklist saved a ton of money and a ton of accidents and saved lives. So it was that drew me into it. And if it worked for them, I was sure that it was going to work for us and really help us out with, reducing slippage and keeping production moving safely and efficiently.
Yeah. One of the things that really hit me, and I think you alluded to it, was that airline travel, airplane flying was becoming more and more complex. And it wasn't just a matter of one or two people hopping in the front seat of a barnstorming airplane and flying off. You know, this was really, really critical, complex processing. And I think the other thing that he brings out in that book that I appreciated, particularly from the construction standpoint, is this concept of the master builder and how in the past there used to be one builder that was like on site and he knew everything about building that building and he was always there and they did the plumbing and they did all the stuff that had to be done. And now not only has building become more complex, but it's also involves a whole lot more people. And so having that checklist available made a great deal of sense for them. So now that you've been converted I wasn't converted, but I read the book finally. What the experience that you have now, so what makes a checklist effective for you? What makes it a useful tool for you as a company?
For us, it's a key not to have too many checks within the checklist. If it's pages and pages of checklists, it's not going to be read. It's not going to be looked at. So it needs to be very poignant. Each checklist needs to be very poignant. And also, as we were creating the checklist, buy-in is huge. So we've been meeting with our team, meeting with our project managers, and I kind of got the ball rolling with creating some of them. But it was huge on when meeting with the project managers, getting their insight and being very honest with them, saying, if I put something in there that's ridiculous, please tell me and we'll take it out. If it's too much, we'll take it out. If there's something that I'm missing, that we're missing, then we need to put that in there. So it's a huge team effort. We're constantly talking about what elements need to be added and what elements need to be taken away. So it's a continual progression. And even in the checklist manifesto, he stresses the importance of putting a published date on the checklist. That way you can see that you need to implement something else if it's gone too long with that date. I really agree with the reality that a checklist is never done. It's always evolving. As the industry evolves, so too should our checklists.
So you mentioned the word poignant, and I just want to go back a little bit because this is one of the things that struck me as well in reading it. When you say poignant, are you meaning like you have to really get to the point quickly on a topic? Because it felt like, I mean, as a surgeon, he was talking about things that didn't really have to do with medical procedure, but it changed the outcome of the medical procedure. So, for example, he talks about one of the things that they put on their checklist is everybody introducing each other in the operating room. And I'm going like, well, shouldn't you be like scrubbing down or shouldn't you be? But what he said was even something as simple as that changed the outcome of infections in the operating room. So I'm kind of wondering on the construction side, how do you get to that point where it's not 50 items long, but the items that are there really do hit what you need them to hit?
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's from past experience. We often talk about those incidences where you feel the boulder drop in your stomach when you made a mistake that you can feel it hit, when it's a costly mistake or a very, it kills the schedule. So we talk about those boulder drop moments, and those boulder drop moments definitely get into the checklist because those are the ones that you really need to watch out for. And those are the lessons that you'll never forget. So individuals that went through it will never forget it. But obviously those who haven't gone through it, they can really benefit from seeing that in the checklist.
Yeah,
it's getting poignant into, it can't be a long-winded checklist, like one quick line that just points out, there's those obvious pause points, like framing. When framing's complete, you want to check, are the rafter ties in? Does the header meet what the prints are calling for and all that? Those elements that are key.
So I think you alluded to something right there that I've been trying to work with companies on a lot, and that is that the checklist can actually become kind of a training tool for new people coming in who didn't experience that boulder drop. But you don't want them to make the same mistake again. And because I made it, someone else is really likely to make it. And so I want to make sure they know not to. So I think the checklists also serve that purpose of training new people into your company.
Yeah. That was actually kind of I didn't really foresee that byproduct of the checklist. And it didn't dawn on me until, the checklists were implemented that, wow, this is a great training tool. You can, we have checklists for procedures, even on the managerial realm, what steps are to be taken during the pre-construction process. What are the key elements, like windows? Windows are always long lead items. So those are key to put in the project manager procedure.
So what do you think was your biggest hurdle? Because I'm thinking too about, like, again, going back to the book, he got a lot of resistance from surgeons who said, like, hey, I've been through 12 years of school. I've been a resident for X number of years. My surgery is flawless or whatever. And yet he was able to prove that it really does change outcomes. So what kind of obstacles did you run up against with your team? And then how did you overcome some of those?
Sure. We actually started producing small binders, checklist binders for the trade partners themselves. We would hand them to the trade partners. We found out quickly that that did not work because we did face that right away.
Yeah,
it didn't matter how much you prefaced it and how much you tried to cater to basically telling them, we know you know what you know, and we know you're amazingly skilled. We're just trying to help with the procedure. But so we quickly realized that's not working. So we ended up keeping the checklist for ourselves. And then we would be going through the checklist after certain phases are complete. So the buy-in is definitely big. We're incredibly blessed with an amazing team. The project managers were already using checklists. Okay. It's not something we were shoving down their throats by any means. So it was a matter of formalizing it so that we could get the same results for every project, even though it was run by a different project manager. So the buy-in is key. And I think the key to truly having everyone on board is not limiting their contribution to the checklist. And it was right from the start, it was obvious. We in the managerial positions, we don't know it all by any means.
Right.
But the project managers have so much great insight that they are huge contributors to those checklists.
Okay. So you mentioned a couple of the checklists that you have. Just give us a little rundown on the variety, perhaps, of what you use checklists for at Westchester Design.
Sure. So we love our meetings. We love naming our meetings. We have a meeting called a liftoff meeting, and that's just where the production side meets with the sales side, sales and design. So we have a checklist to go through for each meeting. It keeps us on target and on task. We hit each item in the liftoff meeting, and then we have a kickoff meeting. And that is where the production team is first meets the client. And we actually talk about the checklist with our clients. We tell them we're huge fans of checklists, and we're going to go through a checklist right now with you. We make sure we hit those small things. And in checklist manifesto, it talks about the importance of checklists, taking care of, I think he even calls it the stupid stuff or the dumb stuff that we don't really think about, but it frees up our brain space and makes sure that we hit those small things that we usually forget. So things at the kickoff meeting, for example, things like, do you have an alarm company that we need to be aware of? Right. What's the best way to enter the project? All those simple things. So for all our meetings, we have those. And I mentioned before, for the procedures for project managers, we have checklists for that. We use BuilderTrend, an incredible scheduling software. And we have a checklist for what we would like to see on each schedule item. I'm sorry, each schedule. We have change order checklists. Make sure we hit everything that's needed for that. And then we have checklists for each phase of the project. And it's one of those, like with the procedures for the project managers and the checklists after each phase, it is a do then check. So we're obviously in it every day. So we have a good feel of it. So we accomplish the tasks. And then once the phase is done, then we go through the checklist. It's not like we're looking at each checklist line and then doing it. So that's okay. That's a key that really helps.
So Wes, where do you keep all the checklists? Are some of them in the binder or paper? Do you keep any of them on a cloud? Like, I know we use Trello for some of the onboarding in our company. That's a great checklist type of software. So where are you keeping all of these checklists? And then after the job, do you ever look to say, hey, this wasn't checked, this happened, or any of that type of audit?
Not to that extent. We don't have an audit to that extent, but our checklists are kept in the project binder. So the project managers have a binder that have the blueprints, the cost estimate, and all the checklists. So it'll have the liftoff checklist in there. It'll have the kickoff checklist in there. And one thing that, so all those checklists are in there, and for the final meeting after the project, we call them APRs or after project reviews. We have a checklist for that meeting as well that we go through just to make sure we hit everything. But, one thing that's kind of cool is we're huge fans of acronyms. So we have an acronym that's FNO. So anytime kind of, you know how you get those times in your mind where you're like, well, from now on, we should dot, dot, dot. So anytime that enters anyone's mind, we encourage them, if they, you know, start a note in their phone, anytime that pops in their mind, they write it down so that at the after project review, that can be brought up and see if that should be implemented into the checklist. And that kind of keeps the evolution of the checklist going and moving forward. So it's all in the binder. And that's one of the big things we found for ourselves, at least. Obviously everyone's different, but on paper is kind of huge. We tried a little bit, you know, we had iPads and we had that all. There's something significant about checking off a box tangibly. I don't know. For me, it just feels really good to make that check. So that's where we keep all the checklists. And then we have weekly meetings where we're reviewing each, not every checklist, but we're reviewing and making sure that we're all on the same wavelength.
So just to kind of circle around and recap a little bit. So each job binder gets each one of the checklists. So is that like 10 or 12 or 14 different checklists that goes into each binder?
It is.
Okay. So yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah.
That's
and
great.
The thing that helps us a little bit is, you know, you look at, we mentioned it can't be pages and pages of checklists. But if we break it down and simplify it day by day and phase by phase, the checklists aren't so intimidating or, I guess, annoying, for a lack of a better term. So if we just look at it by phase, by meeting, it reduces the amount of checks significantly, obviously, rather than looking at it as for the whole project.
Okay, great.
So Wes, is it just the production department, or does sales, estimating, office manager, everybody, do they all have checklists? Because it was big for me with estimating back in the day.
Sure. I can't speak fully to that. I do know that the design team does have some checklists. I haven't poured into those, but I do know that it is something that is implemented in
they're all there.
Many facets cool. of the company.
Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, like many of our podcasts, we try to have people on who are doing a good job with whatever the topic is, so that it's a, you know, a real learning experience for everybody. And I'm just hearing people all over the country going like, I'm going to get in touch with him and get all his checklists from him. So I guess I just want to hear you say no.
Okay.
Because at least part of this process is creating the checklist, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It can be daunting, but like I said, if we break it down in segments, it's less daunting.
So how did you physically get your team involved? Did you like send out an email that says, we're going to put a checklist together, send me your feedback? Or did you literally get them in a conference room and say, okay, we're going to create this checklist?
No, it was mainly, I would just write down what I thought were crucial.
Okay.
We have Tuesday morning meetings where we just go over those checklists.
Yeah.
And it's honestly, it's more, I feel like it's more beneficial if the checklists are utilized in the field.
Right.
And then feedback is received from that.
Okay.
So most every time I hand a binder to a project manager, I beg them for feedback. I say, please okay. tell me if anything needs to be changed. Tell me if there's something in there. There's too many checks, or I'm missing a very obvious one. So it's kind of a continual conversation about it. And it's not as much, not really rigid and focused meetings and hours of pulling our hair out, trying to figure out the best systems. It's letting the basically letting the projects help us make the checklists.
Very cool. So as we're wrapping this up, Wes, just maybe one or two little things that you could encourage people to do that would just help them get over that hump of either convincing their team that it's a great idea or even just taking the time, because it takes some time to put these things together. And maybe people, like, I'm just too busy for that or something, but maybe a couple of things that would just get them over that hump.
Sure. The biggest thing for me actually was once I read this book, I started making a checklist, not like a formal checklist for myself, but just throughout the day. As I'm at my desk doing whatever I'm doing, something pops up, a phone call's made, and I know I have to do something. I write it down in the checklist, and I have this binder with me 24/7. Well, 9 to 5. And seeing the result from that is amazing. Cause there's many times where you like we discussed about the boulder drop, like, oh my goodness, I forgot to do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
There are so many fewer boulder drops for me just from that binder that I carry around, because right as soon as something comes in, it's on the checklist and then I can tangibly check it off. That's been huge for me. So I feel like if someone is toying with the idea of getting into it, maybe start with that and see the results from that. If they don't get results, then they're really good at remembering everything that comes their way. So really getting results from that will kind of encourage the implementation of checklists on a grander scheme. And it's huge to never feel like we have all the answers, so and we create the checklist, but as a team building the checklist, because I don't think it's going to go very far if it's a checklist that's made, given, and said these have to be checked off.
Awesome. Well, this has been awesome, Wes. We really want to thank you for joining us on the Tim Fowler Show today. We hope to have you back again, continue this discussion, because I know we'll have some comments about this. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, Tim, this was extremely helpful. He's got a lot of things figured out. And for me, I learned a lot, because, you know, a lot of times you do kind of rest on the fact that you've done it so many times. You say, you know, we've done this, we're experienced, but when things start really going and you put a lot on your plate in terms of projects and stuff that you're doing, the first thing to go for me is my memory. I mean, I just start to forget certain things. So, you know, just having that backup with checklists is extremely helpful.
Well, I think one of the critical things that came up is just remembering to do everything, as opposed to only dealing with the immediate, like the emergency in front of you. So the checklist definitely helps with that. I love this concept of the boulder drop.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, what a great way to explain the emotion or the feeling that every one of us has had. And then stopping to think, like, okay, how do I keep that from happening again? What process? And that's where I think he's getting the great value out of those checklists, because those kinds of things are going on the checklist. And I think the idea too of trying to minimize it in a way that one item might actually take care of 6 or 8 other things.
Yeah.
And as opposed to having to have a checklist of 50 items, if you can drop that back to 8 or 9, but they cover everything.
Yeah.
It's just a really cool idea.
And it's really smart that he said that they're always evolving, always either condensing, you know, the checklist by, you know, maybe it's repetitive or they need to add something, but it's always changing and getting the team involved. Another one of our continuous trends is, you know, communication, having the team involved. So,
yep, definitely.
Well, once again, we would like to thank Wesley Yoder for joining us today. And we want to thank you for listening to another episode of the Tim Fowler Show.
And remember, we're helping the bottom line through production training. And it isn't always, it is what it is.
It isn't what it is. Yes, that's it. This has been another episode of The Tim Fowler Show. Want to hire Tim and fast-track your growth? Visit remodelersadvantage.com/consulting to learn more. And if you'd like more information about roundtables, our world-class peer advisory program, please send me an email at steve@remodelersadvantage.com. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the show and comment on iTunes. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.